Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
Glad you're here this morning. We're still studying this concept of worship. What does it mean? If we're trusting in Jesus Christ, we're going to live all eternity in heaven. We're going to have opportunities to worship, among other things. And so we may as well learn about it here, right? So that when we get there, we kind of have an idea. I would hate to get to heaven and Jesus said, why didn't you teach him about worship? It's like, well, I don't know. So I am. We're teaching about worship this morning. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 is kind of the foundation verse for this series that we're in. And so remember, Jesus talking to the woman at the well there, and they had this conversation, and they keep shifting the conversation to different topics. And they finally get to the topic of worship. And she says, well, we worship over here because that's the right place to worship. And Jesus says, well, you know, the Jewish people worship over here because that's the right place to worship. And they've got this standoff going. And finally, Jesus just cuts right through it. He says, there's coming a time, right? Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is seeking out people who worship him. Now, there's no right way or wrong way, as you hear me talk about these. It's worship in spirit and truth. That is, when you sit before God and you say, God, how can I worship you? And you say, Holy Spirit, tell me how to worship God in this moment. And the Holy Spirit will come and he'll tell you something. He'll reveal something, some way to worship the Father. So that's what it means to worship in spirit and in truth, is to trust the Holy Spirit and allow him to come and speak through you in an act of worship. So last week we looked at six things. This morning we're going to look at six more things about this worship. And I'm using the word vital worship. Vital being that word that means essential to life, right? You got vital organs like your heart, you know, your lungs, so forth. These are vital organs. You have to have them or you're dead. And so vital worship, this is something that's essential to life. So last week all the words started with the V. And guess what this week's word is going to start with?
V.
They're going to start with a V. We'll start with the V. So I've got some more V words for you. And the first one is the word virtuous. This vital worship that we give God as we're worshiping him with music, worshiping him with just our words, worshiping him with the way we act toward our parents or toward our children, right? These are all acts of worship. Husbands, the way you treat your wives, and wives, the way you treat your husbands. All these are acts of worship that we lay before the Lord. The way you work, right? Do you goof off? The way you spend your time, you know, you're consumed with TikTok or one of those places, you know, and instead of being consumed with the Lord. I see all the parents turn around looking at their kids right now. So it's vital worship. And so the first word is virtuous, right? The first word is virtuous, and it means moral excellence, moral excellence. In Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4, the psalmist cries out and he says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in this holy place? And the answer is, he who has clean hands, a pure heart, doesn't worship idols, and doesn't lie. Right? So this moral worship, this moral excellence, this virtuous worship that we bring to the Lord, we must have clean hands. In other words, we're not dealing with people behind their back. We're not trying to steal stuff from folks. We're not trying to hurt people. Right? We have clean hands. So we show up and say, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. My hands are clean. Right? This pure heart before the Lord. Now, let's just be honest. All of us have had an impure thought at this point in our life. Amen?
Amen.
And oh me at the same time, right? We all have. God is calling us to have a pure heart. And in this world that we live in, that's hard sometimes. I mean, you turn on any device, right? TV or iPad, whatever you turn on, there's some evil stuff there.
That's right.
It's just right in your face. And you're like, well, I didn't want to see that. Now I can't unsee that. You go to school, there's some stuff that happens. So God is calling us to have this pure heart in the midst of an impure world. And it is a struggle. It's hard. Even Paul said, the thing that I don't want to do, I wind up doing. And the thing that I want to do, I wind up not doing. Right? He said, oh, wretched man that I am. That's the words he used to describe himself. And that will be our cry until we meet Jesus face to face. Because there are going to be days when you mess up. There's going to be days when you don't mess up. But the goal is to live with a pure heart and to not worship idols. And an idol can be anything. Anything you put before God is an idol. Right? And then not to lie, right? It says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Psalm 73:1 says, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a pure heart, O God. Titus 1:15 says, to the pure, all things are pure. And in 1 John 3:3, it says, everyone who has this hope in Jesus purifies himself just as Jesus is pure. So as we have this hope of the gospel, that we're trusting in Jesus, as we have this, we're called to this pure life. And our worship should be virtuous, right? Not perfect. You don't walk in here and say, I'm perfect, I'm going to worship God. That's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. Just like me trying to have a six-pack, you know, or an eight-pack at 39 years old. It's just not going to happen, right? I can work out with all the weights I want to and eat salad all day long and munch on lettuce or something. It just ain't going to happen. These young men over here, they probably got six-pack, eight-packs, right? They're born with them, right? It'll change. Just ask your dad or your granddad. It'll change. But enjoy it while you can, okay? Y'all visiting, I'm picking on you, I'm sorry, but you just walked into it right there. And say, boom. Virtuous worship, right? Secondly, our worship ought to be valiant. Valiant. When we think about valiant, we think about strength and, you know, going into battle and fighting the war. And sometimes worship is warfare. Sometimes it is. I mean, there's some days when you don't want to worship, there's some days when things have gone bad, and you just have to press into that and say, it's going to be a valiant effort here on my part. Isaiah 40:9 says, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Yeah, I used the illustration last week. I'll use it again because it works perfectly. In a week or so, college football starts back, right? Amen. And your favorite team is going to be playing. I don't know who that is. Maybe it's UT Martin, right? I don't know who it is, but your team's going to be playing. And the stadium's going to be packed with people screaming to the top of their lungs. You're going to be screaming at 22 guys, right, on the field that you've never met. You don't even know their names, right, unless it's on their jersey, right? You don't know where they came from, what kind of car they drive, nothing. But you're going to scream with all your worth that they'll succeed. Or if they're playing real football, soccer, real football, and they're on the pitch, right, and they're kicking the ball around, you're going to be screaming, run, run, kick, kick, penalty. Why don't we scream like that for Jesus? Why don't we get up and cheer for him like that, right? I know that stings a little bit, but it's true. We come in here and we sit in the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of all creation who made everything, including you, right? And we sit here like crickets. Yeah, we do. Yeah. So we're called to be valiant. Regardless who's looking at me, I'm going to sing for Jesus. I'm going to raise my hand for Jesus. I'm going to shout for Jesus, right? I'm going to get excited about my Savior and my Lord because of what he's done for me and who he is.
That's right.
Get into this thing. So it needs to be valiant. 2 Chronicles 20:20-22. It's a great story. So the nation of Israel was up against it. Once again, the enemies of God were coming to kill them. Big old army over here, and Israel had their army over here, and the Israelites were getting ready. They were sharpening their swords, you know, and I don't know, polishing their rocks, you know, to throw at people, whatever they want to do, right? They were getting ready for battle. And the leader said, let's pray first and see what God says. And so they prayed, and God said, don't go down there. Don't send the army. Let me take care of this. Just bring out the choir, right? Now, bring out the choir. Yeah, go get the choir. And they brought the choir out, and they said, here's a new song I want you to sing, and here's the instruments going to play along. And when the battle starts, I just want the choir to sing. And the leader said, okay. They trusted God, trusted the Holy Spirit. And so the choir started singing. And they were so bad, they sang an army to death, right? The bad guys started killing each other. I can't take this anymore. Right? Read the story. That's freely translated. There's a little gemology in there, okay? And I just kind of added a little bit in there. So, but read the story. The choir that sang an army to death, right? God said, just sing. You know, the Battle of Jericho, right? I told them to march around the wall, be quiet. 6 days. And on the seventh day, to scream and yell and triumph of the Lord and be valiant, right, in what they were doing. And the walls fell down. And then last week, the story of Paul and Silas, they'd been arrested for preaching Jesus. And they were thrown in jail with a bunch of other folks. And they were chained up. And they, about midnight, they started singing, right? Started singing songs. And all of a sudden, an earthquake happened. And chains fell off. And the head guard there thought, well, if the prisoners escape, I'm going to kill myself. Because if not, I'll be tortured. Because that was Roman law. If you let a prisoner escape, you would be tortured to death, right? And he'd rather just kill himself. And so he drew his sword back to kill himself. And Paul said, don't do that, man. We're all here. Everybody's here. We're not running. We're chill. Just come on in here and join us. Just singing. They were valiant in the face of being chained up. Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 12 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It talks about putting on the armor of God. You know, we weren't designed to wear armor. But there are times in life when you have to put the armor on. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We don't walk around in armor. We have soldiers over here that walk around in armor. We walk around in our regalia, right? Our crown on our head. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. But every now and then we're called to join the ranks of the soldiers and put on some armor and fight, even as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Spiritual warfare. The third thing about this vital worship, it must be viable. Viable means it's able to grow and develop with an ever-expanding knowledge of God. Viable, it grows and it develops. Psalm 33, verse 3, we're called to sing a new song. Right? Don't keep singing the old songs. There's nothing wrong with them, but sing the old songs, but give me a new song, right? Because there's thousands of new songs to the Lord nowadays. C.S. Lewis called it growing further into God, right? Ephesians 3:18 says, that we may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Amen. Deep and wide, there's a fountain. You remember the song, right? Deep and wide. It should be an ever-increasing knowledge of what that is. It should be this process of growing and understanding God more and more. Ephesians 3:19 says that it's to expand that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, we'll be there when we see Jesus face to face. But between that and then, we had the opportunity to grow. Don't be stagnant. Don't be stale in your growth of God. And the way you do that is reading the Bible. Just read the Bible. Start with Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Great books in the Bible to start with, right? Don't start with Numbers, right? You'll want to call that choir to come sing you to death, right?
That's right.
Choir, can you come? I'm tired of reading Numbers, right? Nothing wrong with Numbers. It's a good book. Start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Ephesians 4:16 says, as the church grows, it builds itself up in love. And so this worship is viable. It helps us to grow in the Lord and understand him better. The next V word is the word visceral. We don't use this word a lot anymore, but visceral. It means a deep inward feeling. It involves the intellect and the physical senses, right? It's the deepest part of who we are. You know, if you played sports, the coach would call you out to be visceral. Now, he didn't use that word. But he was saying, leave it all on the field. Leave it all on the field, right? Leave it all on the field. This visceral nature. When I was in high school, I ran track. I ran the mile and the 2 mile. I did a little wrestling. And you know, in those moments when the gun sounds and it says go, right, you're putting it all into it. You block out everything around. You kind of get a tunnel vision on what you're doing, whether it's running or wrestling, and you just focus, right, with everything that's within you. And so we're called in this vital worship that it must be visceral. It must be a part of all of us, body, soul, and spirit. The psalmist said in Psalm 28, verse 7, it says, my heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. Psalm 28:6 says, praise the Lord. He has heard my cry for mercy. Sometimes our worship is a crying out to God. God, I can't take this anymore. God, nobody understands me. God, why am I here? Right? We cry these things out to God with all of our body, soul, and strength. And God says, I'll answer that. I would like to answer that. And so he gives us this answer as we praise him, as we worship him, even with crying out with what we are. Psalm 95:6 says, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. When's the last time you bowed down? I bowed down this morning taping up that pedal under the keyboard, right? I did a good job. It didn't go anywhere. It's still there. And somebody walked in and said, so that's what you have to do to get the preacher on his knees, right? Is to get some gaffer's tape and tape up the pedal, right? When's the last time we get on our knees before the Lord, right? Kneel before him. Psalm 34:17 says, crying out, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears him. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Amen. I know some of you here are crushed in spirit because I know your story this week. I know you're crushed in spirit, right? Some of you, I don't know your story, and you may be crushed in spirit too. But even in that moment when you're crushed in spirit, you can cry out to God and worship God. I just worship you. I worship you. That's all I got, God, is I worship you. God responds. He's close to those who are brokenhearted, who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Right? He is good. It's that visceral nature, that tasting of God. Psalm 34:5 says, those who look to him are radiant. They shall never suffer shame, the rest of the verse says. The next point is, the next V word is volitional. We don't use that word either. It's an act of the will, act of our power, deciding to do something. Teenagers, have your parents ever looked at you and said, just do something? My dad used to say, son, do something, even if it's wrong. I think maybe I was kind of laying around, wouldn't do anything, the yard needed to be raked, something. Son, do something, even if it's wrong. Now, that's not good advice. It's kind of half good advice. In other words, get up off your butt and do something, right? That's what Dad was saying. He's calling me into my masculinity, my manhood. Men do things, right? We get things done. Volitional. There needs to be this act of our own will to worship God. Not because you walk in here and some preacher preaches a sermon and you feel a little guilty about not worshiping God like you ought to. No, it ought to be an act of your will. Volitionally, I'm going to decide to worship God today. Psalm 84:2 says, my heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Psalm 27:8 says, my heart says, I will seek his face. I choose to seek God's face. I choose to put my phone down for 3 minutes and seek God's face. I choose that. Right? That's an act of the will. It's volitional. Hebrews 13:15 says, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. That's a decision you make. Hebrews 12:28-29 said, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence in God, for our God is a consuming fire. Right? And he only consumes what we don't need in our lives. He only consumes what binds us from being all that we're to be in Jesus Christ. Right? He only takes the things off of us that we don't need on us. Romans 12:1 says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. Offer your bodies to God. Hey, if you're an athlete, offer your body to God. God, I want to serve you in this way, right? If you're a brainiac, offer your brain to God. God, I'm pretty smart. Can you use me? Yes, God says, I can use you, right? Whatever it is, offer it to God. Said, here it is. I freely give you my life to use in any way you want to. That's what Romans is saying right there. And then the last thing about this vital worship, it needs to be victorious. It needs to be triumphant, right? There are times when, yes, when we're having a bad day, and that's fine. But there are also times when we need to be victorious in our worship of God, that we celebrate who he is and celebrate how he's working in our lives. Psalm 20, verse 5 says, we will shout for joy when you are victorious. Revelation 15:2 says, I saw those victorious ones who worship the Lord. Years ago, Debbie and I were participating in a fellowship time with some other adults our age, and we were having a good time, and the phone call came in to one of the people there, and somebody they knew were close to had been in a motorcycle wreck. It was raining, got off the road, I think hit the guardrail, And when the medics got there, they were describing how many broken bones he had, right? And that he's probably not going to make it. And so we stopped our meal, our time, and we made a circle and held hands, and we started praying. And I could remember the prayer starting out on this side, and it was kind of that soft prayer, God, you know, we want to pray for so-and-so. We called his name, and Lord, I just pray you'd help them, help them. And it got over here to this woman of God, this daughter of the Most High God. And the tone changed. She started praying and prophesying, healing over this man, right? And the room changed. The atmosphere changed. One of the most powerful prayer meetings I've ever been in. And boom, there it was. And it was almost like nobody else could pray. All we could do was worship and say, thank you, Jesus, because we were in agreement with the prayer that was being prayed by this amazing woman of God. A couple hours later, so we get the phone call. Can't find any broken bones in the guy. Now, he laid his bike down into a guardrail. So whether it was our prayer or not, I don't know, but I felt like it was our prayer. Amen. And I felt like the mighty woman of God that prayed had ushered in healing, prophetic healing over this man. And he was able to go home from the hospital, I think, in a few days. Right? Worship needs to be victorious. At some point, we have to claim the victory. We have to claim the victory of what we're worshiping about, and what we're praying about, what we're asking God about. So vital worship needs to be victorious as we pray and cry out to God. Revelation, which has kind of started this whole series a couple of months ago, we read, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We read, you are worthy, O Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. And you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, and from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. That's a victorious worship time. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for your love that sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you that you loved us that much to send your one and only Son to die for us. Thank you, Jesus. You're the bravest man that I know. The bravest man that I know. You took all the sin of all the people around the world for all times, including all of us in this building. You took the sins into yourself. And you died on a cruel cross. And then you came back to life again. And then you invite us to live in you and for you to live in us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher and our guide and for helping us understand this. And so I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would move in people's lives if they're not born again, if they're not trusting in Jesus in this moment, that they will. Holy Spirit, just convict them of that. Help them to walk through what that means to be born again, to be saved, to trust in Jesus. Help them, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, for those of us who are already in Christ, I pray right now you would come and minister to us, speak to us, speak through us, give us encouraging words for one another in just a moment. Give us prophetic words. Give us words of praise and prayer. Give us victorious worship, Father, over the things in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, and help us in this moment. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.